Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network. You have no enemies. No one in the world is your enemy. There is no one you need to hurt. That's a quote from the manga Vinland Saga we're going to be talking about today in our Faces Behind You series, as we discuss the characters behind the main characters in some of our favorite franchises. Thor's is awesome. TJ agrees. That's the end of the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I am Joshua Dole. I'm just here to introduce the Pod Almighty, the one who started it all. Back before dinosaurs, he created a podcast about dinosaurs, and that's how we got the dinosaurs. The one and only TJ Tiberius von Blackwell. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah. I feel like that's like more than paleontologist. I was going to say paleontologist, but then I'm like, no, if you spoke them into existence, studying them doesn't quite feel appropriate, you know? Like, it's like,
yeah, I think there's why only would you need one thing that can really make a person is
dinosaurs. Yeah. Anyway, so we're gonna talk about what we've been geeking out on lately before doing anything else. I have very slowly been trying to make it through that last season of The Boys. I just haven't cared for it after like season two, but like I feel committed at this point, you know, gotta see it through. I like the messaging and everything. It just, it's like the tropes and everything. Fallacy. Just, yeah, like the tropes and the gimmicks and everything. It just, it's like, okay. You can only see someone get beat up by a penis so many times without being like, and, you know, some points just, okay.
Yeah. Happened what to about me last week?
You've been geeking out on anything other
Tekken
than work?
8. Yeah. Yeah. Tekken 8. Nice. It really is great if you want to get into something that is more complex than like real life. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that actually sounds terrible. I want something less complex than real life.
Yeah, don't play Tekken.
Yeah, well, I'm just gonna watch some Disney movies. Yeah, that's my new geeking out, preparing to go to Disney World at the end of the year.
Yeah,
really am. I'm so excited. So guys, consider rating and reviewing our show wherever you get your podcast. If you like things that are just people talking about things, there's no reason not to vote for this with your ratings. Words are hard, guys, and it will help me come up with better words if I can work less and podcast more. And the only way to do that is if you rate and review our show so more people think this is important and I can spend more time on this than work. Yeah.
Yeah. So, at your small donation of like $130,000 a year.
Yeah.
Will allow the two of us to just stop working.
We'll just do this for you. Yeah. True. Speaking of small donations, we do want to thank one of our financial supporters today. I'm shouting out Ethan Overcash. Ethan, you're amazing, dude. Thank you so much. I've met him before. Love him. I'm hoping to meet him again at Geek Camp here at Lutheridge near the end of this year. So if you guys want to know more about that, maybe I'll remember a link in the show notes. And if not, follow us on social media, because every so often Will just takes over and posts about that event because he gets really excited about it. We're also really excited about Will, so that's fair. If you want your own shout out, like Will and Ethan, you can become an official member of Systematic Geekology by going to our website. The link is in the show's description, and you can learn more about that there. Same website, you can buy a t-shirt. You can, leave a one-time donation. You can find some other bonus content. The t-shirt for this year's annual theme, the faces behind us, looks really good. I love it, especially in purple, because it looks good in purple. Things that look good in purple make me happy. Yeah. So if you want to check that out, that's also on our website. And, it's only going to last the rest of the year. And now we're more than halfway through it. So now saying that means something.
Yeah. Gotta hurry.
Yeah. So So check out that t-shirt, some of the other one, other designs, etc. If you want to hear more of us talking about the faces behind us, the people that inspire the main characters from our franchises, same just down below description. There's a different link for that. Lots of links down there, lots of ways to participate in what we're doing, hear what we have to say, geek out with us, and just, you know, enjoy all the geeky goodness together. Yeah. We appreciate all of you who take the time to do such a thing. And now we're going to jump into the main topic of today's episode, Vinland Saga. So before anything else, a lot of our listeners maybe aren't huge into manga or anime. Like, I feel like when you're talking about like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, you don't have to stop and explain what you're talking about. But I feel like you might need to for this. So DJ, what's the premise? What is Vinland Saga? When did you first read it? Tell us something about this.
Yeah. So Vinland Saga is kind of like a manga adaptation of, what's a good way to frame this? The discovery of America, the Vikings' discovery of America, Leif Erikson's journey, kind of, sort of. That's the driving force, at least. Why not? That's why it's called that. So Vinland is the name that they use to refer to the new continent in the 9th century, 11th century. So we follow Thorfinn, the main character of Vinland Saga. When it starts, he's super young, just Viking, doing Viking things. And at the time, who's the king at the start?
I honestly don't remember these
Not
names.
Harald.
The nice thing about like manga and comics is I could do what I do in real life and remember people's faces and have no idea what their names are.
Yeah, but it is a little bit more relevant because Vinland Saga is kind of like an alternate history manga. Because it is heavily based off of real world history, English and like Norse specifically. So there was a lot of times where I was reading it where I'd be like, oh yeah, I know that. I knew that happened. I remember that. I wasn't there, but I remember reading about it. And I was there. But it's a really good story about Thorfinn's journey.
TJ's been around since before the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Probably started Vikings too. You did a Viking podcast before Vikings.
No, I did not. Yeah. I did not start the Vikings. That's problematic.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But Thorfinn is our main character, and we follow him through his path in life from Viking to pacifist to explorer. And he makes a pit stop through slave on the way there, like many Vikings did. So great, great. Phenomenal story. If you haven't read it, you should. For a first manga, I think it's great. If it is your first, it'll probably be really hard for you to pick up a second, but hey, that's just the cost, you know. But it is really phenomenal. I probably started reading it in 2018, I want to say, in college. I started reading it because I'd caught up on Berserk.
Yeah.
And I wanted to read something that was like more mature, you know, like kind of not in the same vein as Berserk, but with the same tendencies, same audience in mind. And everything said, read Vinland Saga and Vagabond, which is also good, but on a permanent hiatus. So Vinland Saga, which is now finished, is much definitely, definitely better.
I like definitely being able to read things up that are finished.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I was reading it before it finished, which was also really great. Being excited to look forward to something like this was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I would have been okay watching this like season. I didn't even watch the anime. Like, I watched part of it.
I didn't either.
It moved too slow for me, which One Piece, and that's the only time I've ever really think I've had that problem where I'm like, this is moving too slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to read the book.
Cards on the table. I have no clue what the anime is like. No idea.
The few I've seen were like, it was good, but I like, for context, super ADHD, I hyperfixate sometimes. I watched like two or three episodes. And I was going to like read as I went, and I just needed to know what happened way too bad to sit there and try to watch it. And I read way faster than I could watch something. So I just like hyperfixated on it. My first time reading, I think, was literally last year. I started the anime way back when y'all did an episode about it for something else. Oh, religions. The year. Yeah. Yeah. There was an annual theme 1 year of world religions, and y'all covered it, and I started the anime, and I was like, this is really good. It just didn't stick. And then last year I was like, I'm gonna do it. And then when I started trying to read the manga and watch, I was like, oh, if I just read the manga, I make it through this. so good. So I've read it twice in a year, and it is not a short series.
I mean, it's,
I think pretty, it's like 250 volumes or chapters not or
even,
something.
Not even chapters.
Something.
But it's, I think, 247, I want to say. But yeah. I guess that's long. Yeah. I guess that's
for
long.
Me.
I'm used to
it's long for me.
One Piece is almost at 2,000.
So some of the main characters, we're probably only going to really talk about the first 40, 50-ish chapters. We'll touch on the other stuff, but I think we're probably going to focus there. I am. TJ might go further. I'm not sure. But like, I'm thinking about the story of Thor's, particularly as it pertains to Thorfinn, Thorkell, and Askeladd. And I might be mispronouncing these names because, again, didn't watch the anime.
That's pretty good.
Sweet. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that because Thor's had one of, if not the most poignant, like, on-scene death that I've seen. Probably the most poignant on anime. Although One Piece, not sure. But, yeah, you guys get the point. It happened. It was waitful. And I'm like, man, that happened so early on. How... What? I was confused because the way you guys talked about it in the other episode, I was like, I thought this was going to happen near the end of this series. This is the beginning. This is how it starts.
Yeah, it really is just how it starts. Was it in the first episode of the anime?
I think it was. For sure it was.
It's in like the first chapter of the manga.
I was like, I was like, how? You barely know anything, but you do find out more as you go. And the interesting thing is you find out more from his son a little bit, who's like the main protagonist. But I feel like you find a lot more from other people who were either his enemies or fought alongside him who disagreed with the lifestyle he chose in the end. You learn more about him from them than you do his son. And it's like they really respect him, even his enemies. Like, I respect this guy. And I don't know. I thought that was really cool. And just seeing how that made impacts on other people who weren't necessarily impacted in the way that you usually think of it. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be like him. It was more of a, I respect that guy. And even if I'm not going to join that side all of a sudden, I know that there's a level of honor to this thing that actually matters.
Yeah, I look up Thor's a lot. And that's kind of the person I'd like to be, you know, like 6'8". That would be cool.
Again, always you bring up height every time we talk about
it. But it's funny because if I'm I'd have to look up to him because he was huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
But not as big as his uncle,
basically.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah,
basically,
but it's he's super cool, and he lived that life so strongly that everyone couldn't help but notice.
Yeah, well, so I think too, what's really cool is like a lot of times when a big character dies, it's like either to show you how evil the bad guys are, or to show that he was that valiant that he made the sacrifice. And I just don't feel like it was either. Like, in a weird way, like, the bad guys really, yeah, they're bad, but they weren't that bad. They weren't the worst bad guys in the series by any means. And, like, he wasn't just sacrificing himself to save somebody. He was just didn't want to hurt people. Basically, is why he died. And it's like, oh, is that actually that important? And I think that's what the rest of the series kind of tries to answer.
Yeah. And I think it succeeds.
Yeah.
I do. Also, I think it sticks to Lana.
Not a main point, but I do want to say, too, I usually don't like reading about or like talking about like honor shame cultures. I'm just like, oh, I don't like this. This show portrays it in such a way where I'm like, this doesn't feel as toxic as you see it. Like, to me, like a lot of Southern Americans, it's kind of toxic, that honor shame thing. Like, yeah, we call you names until it's like peer pressure or whatever, or I have to do this to prove I'm tough. And it's just not that. Like, the honor shame in this, I'm like, I don't like honor shame as like a system because it feels like it makes everything transactional, which makes true altruism harder, which is something I value. But I watch this going, I don't know, man. This particular honor shame system, you still get Thor's, you get Thorkell, you get like a lot of people. And I'm like, I can't read all of these chapters and walk away thinking they're not incredible people, even though, you know, they're not real, but still.
Yeah, they're based on real people. The Snorlsons were real people.
Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
Yeah. The Snorlsons are the family that Thor's and Thorfinn, I guess Thorkell, are based on. But they historically are the reason that we have so much Norse mythology. Snorri Sturluson was instrumental in keeping that mythos alive. Which is, by the way, which is Thor's dad. Snorri Sturluson is Thor's dad.
Crazy. Grandpa's getting thrown in. But so I mentioned we want to focus on Thor's, Thorfinn, Thorkell, and Askeladd. If you had to give like a one sentence summary of each of these characters so people know for reference who we're talking about. Who are Thor's, Thorfinn, Thorkell, and Askeladd?
Thor's is the father of the protagonist and the main driving force behind his internal conflict. Thorfinn is the protagonist, young Viking, growing up and realizing that his dad was correct. Thorkell is the great uncle of the protagonist, of Thorfinn. And super huge, super buff, super strong, super Viking.
So cool.
So cool. Just super cool guy. He wrestles a bear and wins.
It's one of those, like, he shows up. Thorkell, to me, he showed up and I'm like, the annoying frat guy of Vikings. Two pages later, I'm like, nah, this guy is like, this guy's just great. I don't know, man.
Yeah. And Askeladd is, for at least the first half of the series, the main antagonist who, you know, further enforces Thorfinn's inner conflict. Yeah. He's the one who's responsible for killing Thor's.
Yeah. Which for me, and I don't know if this is because, like, I'm just a freak because, like, I'm weird. But even when I read it, it felt like going back to, like, Harry Potter, and it's like I'm supposed to suspect Snape the whole time. And I'm like, nah, this guy's good. I don't know why, but this guy's good. You know, like, I just kind of tell.
Yeah. But not, he's not good. He's good for Thorfinn, but he's not good. He's definitely a bad guy.
Yeah.
But he's not evil.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Not beyond the amount that they're all evil, which is a little bit. And that's why Thor's attaches himself to that, you know, that, oh, what's a good word for it? Stoicism and inaction, as he does, because of that guilt. But that is what we're going to talk about next, because of Thor's life and change, going from one of the strongest Vikings around, as a part of the Jom's Vikings, to a pacifist who refuses to hurt people, who throws aside his weapon, says, hey, this is how a warrior should live. This is how you're supposed to live. I have no enemies. We are all, you know, we're all people. It was kind of his point. But the strength with which he lived that life is what had such a strong effect on Thorkell, who is, you know, at the time, legendary Viking general, who's just kind of, you know, if you can afford it, hire Thorkell and you'll get the job done. Askeladd, who just genuinely could not understand why someone with so much power as Thor's would cast that all aside. And Thorfinn, who, by the way, can we pull that picture up again of Thor's as a pincushion standing on the boat? Thorfinn, if you're watching, Thorfinn is sitting like,
yeah,
like right there. Thorfinn just had to watch.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, pretty tragic. Yeah,
pretty which, tragic. And he's young. He's super young. He's like 12 when that happens. And he just has to live with that and fight against that ideal that his father upheld, because he can't wrap his head around it. And he just becomes a super violent, super cool kid.
Yeah. Until he becomes cooler and less violent.
Yeah. He becomes cooler and less violent. Yeah. But he's so cool.
Which really, so I think that's what provides the, like, some of the most interesting relationship dynamic is between Thorfinn and Askeladd. And it's because of this moment where Askeladd's like, oh, this guy really was committed to nonviolence. And then you have this kid who's like, honor shame culture, but he's like, I'm going to defeat you, Askeladd. And I was like, okay, come along. I'll give you a chance to fight me every so often if you do these things for me. And Askeladd refuses to ever kill the kid, knowing that the kid's whole mission is just to kill him. So it's kind of a really weird antagonist relationship there.
Yeah. And the reason Askeladd's plan, I think, if I'm remembering this right, was to get, he was trying to get Thor's to break on that oath that he took and lash out against them. And in watching him not do that, realizes that he was wrong. And that's what encourages him to, like, take Thorfinn under his wing and teach him what life is like. And life is not good. You know, this is the Middle Ages. Life kind of sucks, especially for Vikings and mercenaries, because Askeladd's not even a Viking. He's a mercenary, which is different.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's not really good or bad. You know, Deadpool.
He's a deuteragonist, technically, I believe.
Yeah. 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 Instead of a merc with a mouth, though, it's a merc that's honor bound and heartless. Askeladd's such a weird character. Okay. We do need to move along a little bit. Thorfinn, though, we see him most of the time. We see him in his, like, teenage era here, the first, again, 40, 50 chapters that I really wanted to focus on. But you do see him afterwards. And so I already mentioned that how weird that relationship with Askeladd is. Askeladd dying really changes the narrative of Thorfinn. And the funny thing is, I'm convinced that the reason Askeladd never killed Thorfinn was because of Thors. And I'm convinced the reason Askeladd eventually died and didn't risk Thorfinn's life in his plan, again, goes back to the impact Thors had just by virtue of his own character. So I guess in a weird way, so we see how Thor's impacted Askeladd. How did Askeladd really change Thorfinn and who he was and what we see after those 40 chapters that I wanted to focus on? And now I'm asking you about everything that's not that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. The biggest change that Askeladd causes in Thorfinn is kind of the message that Thor's tried to teach him through dying. Accomplishing that goal kind of let Thorfinn focus on what that meant and what that meant for his father. And it destroyed him with guilt, basically. And they lost, of course, and he became a slave. And that caused a little bit of character development. And it's during that time where Thorfinn was like, oh man, okay, my dad was right. My dad was right the whole time. I have no enemies. There's no one on earth that is my enemy. And he stopped using weapons. And he doesn't pick up another weapon for the entire series. Not to use, at least. He'll pick them up to say, hey, we don't need these.
Yeah.
But he does that
but
once.
I feel like he still embraced violence slightly more than his dad, I feel like. I feel like he was still like, no, when it's necessary, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
His dad was never that, which I don't know. Like, I feel like a certain level of pragmatism, you guys know, like, I'm not a big fan of utilitarianism, but stand on virtue. But if something's just totally impractical, maybe don't be stupid also, you know?
And by the end of the story, though, he does reach that point where he's like, violence is never the answer. Violence can't be the answer. But that's only like the very end. Up until that point, he's like, yeah, weapons are lame, but these hands are for everybody.
Which honestly was a much cooler fighting style.
Yeah, I thought. I don't know. Being a kid and using two knives and just running around like a demon was pretty cool and funny.
I do think those first 50 chapters would be a much more fun video game.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
If it was all adapted, a lot of it would just be sailing.
Yeah.
And not like fun sailing.
But with good music, hopefully. I mean, Viking.
Viking music.
Viking music's cool.
It's drums.
Viking metal. Okay, fine. So we kind of already went over Askeladd, so I'm going to skip that here and just ask you, Thorfinn. I mentioned, to me, at first he came off as like frat dude, and then two pages in, I'm like, oh, this dude rocks. Let's dig a little bit deeper. So who's Thorfinn? Thorkell. We kind of learn about his relationship with Thorfinn's dad after Thorkell kind of beats the crap out of Thorfinn. But, you know, after a few encounters, he's like, I respect this kid. You're a lot like your dad. And he's like, wait a minute, what? Tell us something about that, what his relationship with Thor's was, how Thor's impacted Thorkell, and how Thorkell eventually makes a difference on Thorfinn again. Relationships are all entangled here. See that, Will? See, I mentioned the thing.
So, I'm sorry, I lost my thoughts. Oh, I was going to say train of thought, but it's all gone. Thorkell, honestly, is like that big, super strong Viking guy, but he's also a stand-up guy. He's a real stand-up guy. And he loved his nephew, Thors, and he respected him because Thors was the only person stronger than Thorkell, in the entire world.
Yeah.
So he took that and he was like, okay, well, if Thors really died for what he believed in, maybe he believed in something that made some sense. He didn't agree ever. He stayed himself, but that respect again allowed him to change his perspective a little bit. And you know, then when he meets Thorfinn, he's like, oh, you're Thor's son. We're cousins, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like fighting to the death at the time. And he's like, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
It's awesome. I think Thorkell, this is going to sound really counterintuitive to that whole thing where I'm like, honor, shame, culture, and toxicity. Thorkell just wants to fight people, man. Like them, it's just a big sport. He's having fun with it. Like he's literally a few times choosing what side of the war he's on based on who can I fight the most? What's the hardest challenge? He wants a challenge. He wants to fight. He knows his purpose in life. He's committed to it. That's what he's going to do. So I love Thorkell for that. Even though, you know, I don't love violence. And I don't like the whole honor shame making us do things that maybe aren't always the best thing. But Thorkell is pretty awesome. And then, like, one of the coolest moments is actually this, to me, I really like this scene. I call it a scene. Is it still a scene in, if it's a manga? Anyway.
Yeah.
Thorkell, Askeladd, and Thorfinn are all kind of in this one place. Askeladd's injured. Thorfinn and Thorkell are about to have a big fight. And all three are present, and Askeladd's kind of giving Thorfinn tips to win this fight against Thorkell. And Askeladd's kind of been the antagonist the whole time, so it's kind of weird. TJ, could you unpack, like, what's going on in the scene and, like, what changed after? Because after this, they all kind of team up and move forward together into, I don't remember where they go from here. In my mind, big city time.
Jumsburg.
But that's not what it's called. Yeah, yeah. But could you unpack some of this scene?
I can try. I'm no literary analyst, but... it serves as a good representation of that conflict that I was talking about in Thorfinn, where he's trying to choose or trying to understand his dad's point of view and also his own role in the world, where he's probably the most dangerous 16-year-old alive, but he's fighting against like a real living legend. And it's at this moment that he starts to, well, this arc, this little mini arc, these few chapters where he starts to understand that Askeladd has kind of become his father figure and that he's learned a lot from him, a lot more than he wanted to, because it's for him, he's just in this to kill him, just in it to get his vengeance. So this is a major turning point for Thorfinn to get him to the point where he is amenable to change.
You worded that a lot better than I was going to be able to. So thanks.
They had to get in their hits while they could. Also, Canute's here at this point. Canute's going to be the king of England.
Do you think a lot of this setup was made because, man, wouldn't this scene be cool? And it was.
Yeah, he had to get those out of the way because, you know, the back half of this story is like slow burn and.
Yeah, Thorfinn as leader and learning to be like his dad, but in his own way. And
yeah,
which is cool. Just a different kind of story. Very different kind of story.
Great. So good. Yeah. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a battle. Shonen, you know?
Yeah.
It gets very mature later. So they got to get all the cool fights out of the way.
Yeah, which I was all about. I love the cool fights. And then at that point, you're just committed to the characters. So then you're going to be there for the drama and the philosophical quandaries and the character arcs, even if there isn't a lot of cool fighting all the time. Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
So, yeah. We do got to ask, as we do with all this, if the face behind you was gone, what would the rest of the story be like? So without Thor's, what happens to Thorfinn, Askeladd, and Thorkell, TJ?
So, they all probably die in battle.
I'll say, I don't know. Thorfinn, he might die before he gets old enough to get into battle, honestly. If he's just in that peaceful village, by the time they get there, he's gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it wasn't for...
Because he wouldn't learn from Askeladd or anything. He wouldn't have learned how to fight.
If it wasn't for Thor's, Thorfinn literally wouldn't exist.
Yeah, that's true. He wouldn't be born. Fair. Yeah. The other two... Or I feel like are easier. I feel like Askeladd just remains immersed. I think Askeladd lives longer, truly.
Honestly,
I feel like he doesn't have as much heart. He's just going to go where the money is. He probably lives longer that way. But he just never has a character arc. I feel like he never changes.
I mean, Askeladd and Thorkell realistically probably would have ended up fighting each other.
Oh, Thorkell would have killed him. No problem.
Maybe, probably.
Nah, I don't think Thorkell would have an issue.
Maybe, probably. But Thorkell would have... Yeah. Fought until he died.
Oh, absolutely. And he would have had a blast doing it. Yep. He would have died a lot sooner. It's funny. I think Thorkell would have died a lot sooner. Askeladd would have lived a little bit longer.
Yeah. Not a lot longer.
Yeah, a little bit, though. Because, money.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And I don't think, neither of them, I feel like, have growth. Like, I don't think Askeladd becomes the person who's willing to die for a cause. I don't think Thorkell ever changes at all to be beside some... a leader. Like, I don't think he ever has a commitment to anyone. I think he just remains committed to fighting. Whereas the series as we have it, I feel like he does develop a little bit of a commitment to the king, a little bit of commitment to Thorfinn. And I don't think you ever see that from Thorkell if it wasn't for Thor's and all these other interactions. Yeah.
Yeah. And it goes beyond like devotion to his brothers in arms, which he always had.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Just great art. This is like some of the best character arcs, I feel like. Just good story, man. So just to recap the four people we're talking about here. Thor's, his role is basically, he was a great warrior once, went to live a peaceful life and be family dad, was forced back into war and dies. Thorkell, great leader, just signs up whichever army is has the biggest challenge that he can fight the most people because he loves fighting. Eventually, you know, changes a little bit on that role. But Askeladd is the mercenary who ends up taking on a fatherly role because of some kind of sense of guilt or something, maybe, where he's a father figure to the kid who wants to kill him. And then Thorfinn, especially for the first, we'll say this first chunk of the story we're talking about, has to be mentored by someone he wants to murder, then steps into a leadership role trying to live out nonviolence. So of those four, whose role would you most want to take on if you had to step into their role?
Yep, just like me.
Yeah, I'm just TJ Blackwell is going to step into the role of Askeladd.
Askeladd. I love fighting kids. I'll do it all day.
Yeah, I'm going to mentor this kid who wants to kill me.
Yep, it's going to be a great time.
You know, sometimes that's how what I feel like our job is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's out of context for some people, but funny as hell for others. Man, I have a really hard time answering this.
Yeah, none of them really have easy lives.
I'm going to go with Thorkell. Because I do love a challenge. And eventually he kind of becomes the number two, the advisor, after going through some stuff, putting in the time, if you will. I feel like as far as roles go, I would never want to be Thorkell. Personality type, wildly different. Kind of like his role, though. Of, yeah, I'm going to lead the army. We're going to do some fighting. And eventually I'm going to be someone's number two hand. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with
that. And you would die.
Oh, yeah. But like, I'm going to get his strength, too. Taking his role, I'm also going to ask for his strength.
Well, that's why I asked. That's why I asked.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, you could get their abilities if you want. You just keep your personality.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be Thorkell as well.
Sweet. Yeah. So he seems like he has the most fun out of anybody, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, though, I would probably be Askeladd anyway.
Yeah. Honestly, I see you kind of not as an Askeladd in the sense of like you're just do stuff for the money. But like, as far as like you being a mentor to somebody who hates you and you're just like, I don't care that you hate me. I could see you doing that. Yeah. I don't think I could do it. I care too much about people liking me.
I really don't like money.
Yeah, that's the other problem.
That's the funny part.
You're allergic to cash.
That's the least like him I am. It's the aspect we have the least in common.
Yeah, it's funny. You wouldn't do it for money, but you just kind of do it. Like, oh, you want me to mentor this kid? What skill we got? Okay, sure.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Me, I love the idea of like, I'm just going to lead this team, not necessarily into battle. I just like the idea of leading teams, not necessarily like one-on-one mentorships, but the idea of leading a team. I love that. That's fun. And then the idea of being someone's number two. I like that too. But something about that direct, like mentor mentee. I don't want to do that, man. I think I've done that enough times. I'm just tired of it. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I'm sick of this. I get why Jesus had the 12. If it was just him and Peter, he might've killed Peter, you know?
Definitely.
That's a joke. I do not think Jesus would have murdered Peter.
He would have.
Sorry to all our Catholic fathers.
And Thomas? Doubt me again.
Listen, I'm just going to throw this out here. This is a random. I have some Bible pet peeves, for those who don't know. This is a random one. I hate people saying doubting Thomas. I get where it comes from because he was like, oh, let me touch the wound. Throwing out there. I'm a Thomas apologist. That's what I am.
Thank you.
When Lazarus was dead, all the apostles are like, oh, Jesus, why would you do this? This is stupid. He's already dead. And Thomas is like, nah, Jesus has this. He was the only one who believed in him. He doesn't deserve doubting Thomas. Yeah, that nickname just isn't merited. I'm sorry. What, the rest of them doubted first.
What do you want to call him?
Trust but verify Thomas.
Yes. Yeah. Trust Lee Thomas.
Anyway. So
Thomas the truther.
Oh, man. So we mentioned before, this series has a lot to do with like the honor shame kind of culture. How important do you think honor is to how we influence others? Because the reason Thorkell really saw what Thor's did wasn't because he was like, oh, sacrifice is important or, oh, his beliefs were good. He didn't care about the guy's beliefs. He was like, oh, there was honor and that he was willing to die for his beliefs. So how important do you think honor actually is in our ability to influence other people?
It kind of depends on the other people, what your definition of honor is.
Yeah.
So bad question. Move on. But yeah, it really does depend on your definition of honor, because for some people it's a big deal. You know, for some people it allows them to, even if they disagree with you, be like, okay, but he's, you know, he's a good guy, so maybe I should listen sometimes.
Yeah I think for me personally it matters a lot, but yeah, again, I do think it just depends on who you're trying to influence, because I have several friends who are utilitarian, you know, whatever. I've already mentioned several times. I hate utilitarian arguments. I have some friends who believe that way, act on that, but I know them. Like, they are people who are trying to do good. I trust them. I respect them. Don't like their argument. Don't like why they're doing what they're doing. I could be wrong. And so out of honor, I'm like, hey, they're committed to that belief. Sure, I'm down with that. The thing that makes me most mad at like movies and stuff or like whatever, or people that I won't ever listen to, are people who aren't going to do what they say they do or will say, I believe this, but then act otherwise, right? Like, to me, part of my biggest problem with a lot of, this is bad we're not on the Church Unity show right now. Ha, yeah. Sorry. We have another podcast that's about Church Unity called The Whole Church Podcast. This does not apply to that podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. But I have trouble sometimes listening to more conservative Christians, especially Southern Baptists, because I'm like, the amount of times you say you're about, you know, sexual ethics, you care about, you know, answering to other people or doing the right thing, purity, and then the amount of times you're caught covering up sex scandals and stuff, I'm like, do you care about that? I have a much harder time believing what they say at face value because I've seen them act otherwise. Then you have, as an example, someone else on the show, another host who is a Baptist, Christian Ashley. I disagree with him all the time. He says something that he believes something, I trust wholeheartedly he's going to act in that belief because I know Christian and he's a man of honor.
Which is worrying sometimes.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also why, like, if I have just one advice, I'll still go to Christian even though I disagree, because at least I know he's going to be straight with me. Some people just tell me what I want to hear. Christian won't.
But if you're a lobbyist, stay far away from Christian Ashley.
Amen. Verily, verily. All right. One last question to dig a little deeper before we wrap this up. One of the coolest things in this series is how it portrays Christianity. And it's not like, hey, everyone convert to Christianity. They were right. Jesus is the answer. But it just kind of shows like the idea of Christianity that is nonviolent, that is turning the other cheek, that is loving your neighbor, of not having enemies. And even though it's not like an evangelist tool, like that's not what the show's trying to do. It's interesting how it portrays that and how you see some of the characters reacting to, hey, we thought this was weak. You're going to just turn the other cheek, let them fight you. But then you see images like, I got to put it back on the screen. Sorry. You see images like this and you're like, yep, can't call that weak. Thor's being willing to be shot several times and I'm just not going to kill someone because that's not what I do, not what I believe. You can't look at that and say it's weak. And how many people were really challenged by that because they thought nonviolence was weak. And then you see someone willing to die for that belief. And it's like, well, I can't call that weak anymore. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I want to throw to TJ, how does the way we see Jesus change the way that we see things like strength and honor, whatever we mean by those things?
Right. I think it is, honestly, this is a really great allegory for it, is the way that we see Thor's and know Thor's strength and see how he expresses it stoically.
Yeah.
He expresses it through steadfast belief in his ideals.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, hopefully, I don't know how you see Jesus. I think Jesus was very strong.
Oh, yeah.
Getting told, hey, you're going to die. But like, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And then being okay with going and dying, that takes a lot of strength.
Yeah.
And yeah, it probably helps that you're the son of God and everything. But
yeah, that's also fully man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't like how the verse gets used sometimes, but we don't have like an explicit thing in the Bible that says this is why Jesus did that. But I think it's really telling that Jesus had some of the disciples pick up swords. Then when the Romans go to take him and Peter uses the sword that Jesus like, hey, we need to have weapons. Jesus goes, hey, put that away. Like, I believe that was written in the Bible to show the intentionality where Jesus said, no, I could have chose to fight back, but I'm stronger than that. That's kind of how I read that. But I don't think the Bible explicitly says that's why he did it.
Yeah. So it really depends on if you view Jesus Christ as strong and honorable, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Maybe you don't.
There. It also, just going to shout out another episode that I haven't done yet, but I've done yet if you're listening, where I probably have talked about what I like in the new Spider-Man movies, the last two with Tom Holland, actually, where like, and it starts in Far From Home, where instead of defeating all these old Spider-Man villains, which are like, you're like, oh, they're going to show us that Tom Holland's as good as the other Spider-Man because he can fight them. Nope. He's going to cure them all. He's going to help his enemy. He's going to love his enemy. Sounds pretty Christian. It's not a Christian movie. You know, Spider-Man never claims to be Christian, but I'm like, dang. And then in the newest Spider-Man film, the same thing happens. And in a little bit more of a dramatic way. I don't want to say exactly because, like, spoilers. But what happens in the film, I'm like, this is someone who is committed to loving their enemy unto death. And that's so powerfully Christian, even though it's not explicitly Christian. And then the cool thing in Vinland Saga is it is explicitly Christian. And I just, to me, I see moments like that and I'm like, yeah, that ain't weak.
Yeah. And unless it's really funny when it like starts to happen too, because unless you're like aware of what you're reading and the time period you're reading in, it just kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, oh, they're Christian now.
Vikings, Christian?
The church is here.
A lot of people don't put those together.
Yeah. But it is pretty funny when it just pops up.
Yeah. Oh, and historically, it's accurate.
Missionary.
Just weird. Yeah. All right. Cool. Anything else you want to add about Vinland Saga? How strong Jesus is? Your creation of the dinosaurs before we start wrapping this up?
Yeah, read Vinland Saga. It is really good.
Yeah, totally worth it. I said it's long, but it's not like super long. It's like,
it's not.
If you're committed to reading in the evenings, probably a good week you get through it.
Not even.
Yeah. If you're TJ, like less than a day. If you're a normal person, probably a
couple
about a week.
Of days.
Anyway, all right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. I have fun. I love doing these episodes. I like talking about the faces behind and seeing like what inspires the characters. And yeah, it's good times. We are going to do a bonus episode really quick after this. We're going to ask what other modern stories display violent and honor-centric cultures with a generous perspective. You know, I mentioned usually that like honor-shame thing comes off pretty toxic, but they displayed it pretty well here. We're going to talk about some of the other stories we think in pop culture maybe display that well. For now, though, DJ, if you had to give a recommendation for others, video game, comic, anime, whatever, what's something else that you think people should check out?
Honestly, Vagabond. Vagabond's great. It's a manga about Miyamoto Musashi. But if you're like Josh and you don't want to read anything that's not finished, do not read Vagabond. The author is not going to finish it for as long as his other series, Slam Dunk, is still making him money. He loves Slam Dunk more than he loves Miyamoto Musashi. So he's going to keep doing that.
Yeah. Yo, so earlier I mentioned I was going to find what I was thinking of for the historic fiction author that I liked for my recommendations. And I did. Stephen Pressfield is the author's name. I want to recommend specifically, there's a few that I really like. Gates of Fire was good. A Man at Arms, though, has to do with someone trying to deliver one of Paul's letters during Roman times. A lot of action. Bible adjacent. Pretty cool. So
pretty cool.
Yeah, I highly recommend all of Stephen Pressfield's books, actually. So that's our recommendations for today. Check them out if you want. You don't have to. You do have to rate and review the show, though. You were contractually obligated when you listened. Don't know if you know. Sorry. No, but it does help us a lot when you rate and review wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple Class, whatever. It makes people think that we're important, like the algorithms. So when people search stuff, we're more likely to show up. Helps our show grow. And it's free for you. It only takes a couple seconds. And we really appreciate it. Less free, though, that we still appreciate when people financially support the show. So we're going to shout out one of our financial supporters, Ethan Overcash. You're amazing. Thank you so much, Ethan, for making this show possible. Guys, if you want your own shout out, you can be like Ethan by going to the link in the show's description, subscribing, becoming an official member of Systematic Geekology, and we'll shout you out on the show as well. You can also buy some merch, see some extra free content, stuff like that. You can leave a one-time financial gift if you don't want to like subscribe. You can still leave a one-time gift if you want. I mentioned earlier, I love the Faces Behind This t-shirt for our annual theme. Looks super good in purple. Definitely worth checking out. If you got a couple minutes, head over that way. We really appreciate it. Remember, you can find a playlist to the entire series of Faces Behind Us with the link in the show description. A lot of links down there, a lot of ways to join in the geeky goodness and just participate in what we're doing here on Systematic Geekology. We appreciate you all for that. And, of course, we need you to do one extremely important thing for us, which is to remember that we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests. Till next time.